How important is physical touch? You know, some people do not like to be touched. My mother was like that. My mother died back in the 90s, but I sort of grew up without a lot of physical touch. Now, part of it was the generation of my parents. Some of you know some people who used to be that old, and they just didn't do it. I mean, I still remember as a kid, the Dick Van Dyke Show, and I remember going through that sort of crisis of knowledge when I was trying to figure out how this married couple had a child, even though they slept in twin beds. And so, I mean, you know, that was kind of part of the generation of where that was from. But my mother more so. And so I remember growing up, and as I entered young adulthood, I decided I wanted to be a more touchy guy. Now, I'm not a touchy-feely sort of guy. I'm still kind of, you know, manly about that sort of stuff. But I decided, you know, I want to hug people. I want to be one of those kind of people. And I decided I would first start with my mom. And I'm not kidding you. When I would go to hug my mother, she would literally stiffen up like a pole. And I know that my mother loved me. It wasn't a personal thing. At least I'm pretty sure she loved me. But if you talk to my brothers and sister, she loved me more than them. But that's a different issue, and I'll talk about that with my therapist. But still, there are some people who are just like that. They just don't like to be touched. But consider the following. In a study written about by Margaret Kim, they discovered this, that skin-to-skin contact between mother and infant it has been shown to benefit the baby's physical development and contributes to a positive attachment relationship. In fact, the practice of placing a diaper-clad infant skin-to-skin on the mother is so beneficial that it is now an intervention strategy for premature babies in neonatal intensive care units worldwide. A group of infants in an orphanage were provided with an extra 15 minutes of stimulation. Now, by stimulation, they mean talking to them, touching them, and making eye contact with them. An extra 15 minutes of stimulation, two times a day, 5 days a week, for 4 weeks. In that short period of time, those infants that received the extra attention gained significantly more weight. So physical touch might make you fat. These are babies. They're supposed to grow. They gained significantly more weight. They increased in body length by more than the others, and they had fewer illnesses. Gentle touch has been shown to facilitate physical and psychological functioning, reducing stress, relieving pain, increasing the ability to cope, and general health. Fibromyalgia. Anybody familiar with fibromyalgia? It's you know that one, huh? Fibromyalgia is, to put it simply, I'm not a doctor, obviously, but I've seen one on TV. Fibromyalgia is a condition that causes you to have pain all over all the time. Therapeutic touch is so far the only effective proven therapy for fibromyalgia. People who literally have a reason not to want to be touched, therapeutic touch helps that condition. In nursing homes, they've studied Alzheimer's patients who sometimes have accompanying aggravating circumstances, if you will, fits and things like that. Oh, thank you very much. He's not just a good preacher. But by giving severe Alzheimer's patients 5 to 7 minutes of therapeutic touch two times a day, only 3 days a week, they showed significant improvement and calming. Now, if you still don't want to be a touchy kind of person, maybe that's just a little too medical for you, think about this. In an article printed in the New York Times in February of this year, it was demonstrated that momentary touch, I'll explain what momentary touch is in a minute. I'll explain it right now. Ready? Up high. There you go. Momentary touch can communicate an even wider range of emotion than gestures, expressions, or words. Scientists actually studied physical touch in the NBA. That's the National Basketball Association. And here were their conclusions. Here's what they found. Good teams were touchier than bad ones. The two most touch-bonded teams, this study was done at the beginning of last season. You know what the two most touch-bonded teams were? Anybody want to take a stab at it?
Lakers
and Celtics. They just played in the finals. Two most touch-bonded teams. The least, the le- California fans here. The least touch bonded teams were, anybody? Sacramento Kings, Charlotte Bobcats. Couple of cellar dwellers. The touchiest player in this season, he got a little too touchy in one game, was Kevin Garnett. But he's a good player. He got ejected for a fight in one game this year. A warm touch can be a high five, a fist bump, anything. Get this, it releases oxytocin, a hormone that causes and creates a sense of trust, and it reduces levels of cortisol, the hormone that causes stress. All that for a high five. Right now, turn to your neighbor, give him a high five. Don't you feel better already? Find a neighbor, there you go. Simply put, do not underestimate the power and importance of touch. Think about this, God designed us for touch. I mean, obviously we have hands, and how sensitive is a normal human hand? God covered us with skin, which you might know is actually the largest organ of the human body. It's not just a covering. It's very much a part of who we are. We're covered with skin, not a shell. Think about this. In the incarnation, God became a man. Why did God become a man, ultimately to die on a cross for our sins? But think about this. Couldn't God, since he's God, have accomplished all that some other way? I mean, the Bible tells us that God is spirit. So God, in infinity, before the incarnation, and it gets kind of mixed up as far as putting a timeline on the eternal, didn't have a body. Did he need one? Of course not. But he did. Why? Because he created us as human beings with a need, not for a divine decree of forgiveness, not for a divine message of love printed on a billboard, but because we need to be touched, and we need to touch people. Now, take your Bible and open it to Mark chapter 1. Why this passage? We'll go through the story in just a minute. We have a very special message next Sunday to kind of tell you about what happened in Romania. And so I'm just going to touch base with just a little bit on here. Go on to the next slide and it'll be there. What we saw in Romania was people who needed to be touched. I don't want to run down a country. That's not my purpose at all. But under the Ceausescu regime, a brutal communist dictator who eventually, when communism fell in Eastern Europe, was literally ran down in the streets and executed in a kangaroo court. I mean, he was not a well-loved leader. But as a brutal communist dictator, pretty much stamped out religion in Romania. There is the Orthodox Church, of which 85% of Romanians are members of. But you would be hard-pressed to find anybody at any of those Orthodox churches. It's roughly, depending on what study you read, about 5% of the people are what we'd call evangelical Christians. That is, people who have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, we know a lot of these people, old people, young people, kids. We know a lot of these people, and they're, generally speaking, fine people. We've built some good friendships with people over there. There's something missing, and it's not a character flaw. It's not something that makes them evil or any more evil than each one of us has the potential of being, but it's the absence of God. And they need to be touched by God. But you can't just go over there and say, dude, you need to be touched by God. Because they don't know who God is. They really don't. We take so much for granted in this country. You don't understand what the phrase taken for granted means until you go someplace where there really is just this void. Every now and then you see a church. Of course, there's nobody there. But there's just this void in the society. It's a spiritual void. How do we communicate to them? How is God going to touch them? God is going to touch them the same way God has always touched people, and that's through people. The church, and it's not accidental, the church is called the body of Christ. That is the contact point for the world, not just in Romania, but any place. All right, let's go to the text. Mark chapter 1. Down near the end of the chapter. A man with leprosy came to him, that is Jesus, and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning, "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priests and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places, yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Norok, bless you, literally means good luck. I learned 10 new Romanian words while I was there, because Daniel sneezed a lot. Based on this text, there's 3 points I want you to ponder. The first is, and let me back up a second. God gave me this message while I was in Romania. We had church while we were there. It's kind of cool. Josh brought his guitar, so we all got together and sang a song. God gave me a message and all those kind of things. And this is the message that God gave me there, based upon what I was seeing there, seeing these kids, much like that leper, not as severe physically, but certainly as severe spiritually. First point I want you to ponder is the difference between knowing God's will versus doing God's will. We as Christians talk a lot about trying to understand God's will for our life as if it's some huge mystery. It's really not. I want you to notice this. That when the leper comes up to Jesus, he doesn't say, "Excuse me, Mr. Jesus, sir, I don't know if this is in your agenda or if you have this capacity, but do you think, is it possible, could you heal me?" There was never a doubt about the ability of Jesus. The question was he willing? So the leper comes up to Jesus and says, "Lord, I know you could do this if you're willing. So if you are willing, you can heal me." Jesus' ability was never in question. Now think about this and how it applies to your life. What's God's will for your life? We struggle to understand intricate details when the truth is it's not a huge mystery. One of these days, maybe we'll study through Ephesians. But let me give you one of the major themes of the letter to the Ephesians. It's simply this. God used to be mysterious. He's not mysterious anymore. God has made himself plainly known. God wants you to know him. God wants you to know his will. It's not a huge mystery. God's will is not a huge mystery. Let me give you 2 questions that can give you at least a general idea of what God's will is for your life. Number one, what are you currently involved in that you know is not God's will? What are you doing right now in your life that you know God would not look at and say, "Hey, you should do more of that"? It's not God's will. I saw a church sign the other day, and if you're a Glenn Beck fan, you'll understand the context. If not, then I won't belabor the point. But it said, "Sorry, Mr. Beck, but Jesus preached whatever." That's it. He preached something about cell phones in church. Jesus preached social justice. And I was reflecting on that, and I thought, you know, I've read the Bible quite a bit, and as much as we might like that to be true, the Bible tells us exactly what Jesus preached. You can look it up. Each of the Gospels that talk about the preaching of Jesus, after he was baptized, he went out and began preaching. You know what he preached? "Repent, the kingdom of heaven is near." What Jesus preached wasn't social justice. Social justice is a subset of what the church should do. Don't get me wrong. But the main message of Jesus was repent. Those things that you're doing that you know in your heart is wrong, stop it. You want to know what God's will is for your life? Well, what are you currently doing that you know God does not want you to do? Repent. Stop doing that. Second, on the positive side, what do you know that God has been telling you to do, but you've avoided? It just keeps coming up. It's in your heart. It's on your mind. It's always right there in front of you. No matter where you go, there it is again. And you've said, "Maybe somebody else, Lord, maybe some other time, Lord, not today, Lord," but it just keeps coming back. In James chapter 4, verse 17, it says this, "Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins." Think about that. If I were to ask you to list your sins, first of all, we'd be here a long time, right? Okay, so we're not going to do that. But typically, when we think about our sins, don't we think of the things that we're doing wrong? Well, you know, the other day I yelled at the kids. You know, the other day I kicked the dog. You know, the other day this guy cut me off in traffic and I waved at him, but I didn't use my whole hand. And we go down the list of things that we did. But according to James 4:17, there's this whole other category of sins. And that's that list of things that you know God wants you to do, and you're avoiding it for whatever reason. Anyone who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. God's will for your life personally is like a combination lock. And it seems like we want the whole combination. That's a simple one, but think of a more complicated lock. We want the whole combination before we'll even turn to get the first number. And God says, you know what, I'll give you the first number. You know, I've learned this. We have a safe at the church, and it's kind of tricky. You got to go four times this way and three times that way, and you know, stand on one foot and whistle Dixie while you turn the handle. But I remember when we first got the safe, I kind of worked with it. It took me a while, but I figured it out. So since I practiced ahead of time, I made it look really easy, and then everybody else would have had trouble with it. So I would tell people, okay, here's what you do. Four times right to this number, three times left to that number, two times right to that number, then one time over to that, and then turn to the other direction, turn the handle, open the safe, and you, voila. You're like, huh? So I found that if I said, all right, just turn the dial four times. All right, now stop at this number and walk them through it step by step. Hey, it works. You know what? That's the way God guides you through your life, one number at a time. One number at a time. Gesundheit. We want the whole combination. Here's the at least the big picture of the whole combination. You know that you can trust God. You know that God loves you. You know that God has a wonderful plan for your life. So know that whatever direction that first number is, that the end result out there is going to be good. See, our problem is God says, all right, I want you to go here. And we're like, but God, I want to go over there. Have you ever been someplace you didn't plan on being and you ended up encountering somebody that you really needed to encounter? That's the way God works. We'd have never been there on our own. That's where I want to be. That's how I'm going to get there. Ah, damn, the torpedo is full speed ahead. That's a quote from a movie. Don't hold it against me. God reveals his will one number at a time in our life. There's the question of knowing God's will, which I suspect in our hearts, most of us already have an inkling what it is. The question isn't, do you know what God's will is for your life? The question is, are you going to do it? When the leper went to Jesus, he didn't say, you know, Lord, you may not know what you're going to do here. Now, the question was not about his ability. It was about his will. Second, real compassion, genuine compassion results in action. Have you ever said to somebody, you have my sympathy? What do we mean when we say, you have my sympathy? Do we mean, oh man, dude, I ache for you? Or do we mean, better you than me? I'm glad it's you, not me. That's not sympathy. Sympathy is not something that is only expressed in words. Something in the air, buddy. But notice, I love this verse. Verse 41. It says, filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. Because he was filled with compassion, it somehow affected his arm. Compassion isn't something you just feel. If you're filled with compassion, the hands come into motion. Something has to happen. Now, I'm going to throw a picture up there. There it is. Okay, hold right there. In just a moment, I'm going to show you a rather graphic picture. If you are easily grossed out, then I'll tell you when it's not up there anymore, and so don't look. Now, it's not, you know, pornographic or anything like that. But this picture that's up there now is kind of a classic artist rendition of Jesus healing the leper. It's clean, it's neat, it's tidy. It's something you wouldn't mind hanging on your wall. Leprosy, by and large, is a disease that's been eradicated from the earth today, except in very, very poor countries. And so when we read this story and we think of pictures like that, we have no problem with Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. But that's not what leprosy looks like. Now, if you're easily squeamish, don't look. This is what leprosy looks like. Who wants to touch that? Nobody wants to touch that. Now think about this. Did Jesus have to touch him? Of course not. I mean, Jesus had healed people long distance before. I mean, back in the Old Testament when, you know, Jesus was, you know, with God in heaven, God healed people then. He didn't touch them. Jesus had a centurion come up to him in his ministry, and Jesus said, okay, come on, let's go, we'll heal him. And the man said, you know what, you're an important man, you got things to do, you don't need to be there, you just say the word and he's healed. And sure enough, he was healed. Jesus did not need to touch that leper to heal him. But listen, that leper needed to be touched. That's why Jesus reached out his hand and touched him. 1 John 3:18, in a few weeks we'll get back into our study in 1 John and we'll cover this passage in context. But 1 John 3:18 says, dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. It's okay to say, I love you. But don't be like so many and say, I love you, but I'm leaving you. I'm not. Just an illustration. But how many times do you hear that? I love you, but I just need to move on. I got news for you, folks. That's not love. You can use whatever words you want. That's not love. We can take pity on the poor. We can say to them, you have my sympathy. We can say to the leper, spiritual and otherwise, you have my sympathy. But will we reach out and touch them? Last thing I want you to consider, last point to ponder is this. When you go out and do something great that God has led you to do, don't expect a prize for it. Down in verse 45, about the middle of the verse, it says, as a result of what? Remember, Jesus said, don't tell anybody about this. Just go to the priest, make the sacrifice, live your life, be blessed, and have a great day. But don't tell anybody about this encounter. Why did Jesus say that? I'll tell you why he said that. First, there's the one hand, if you were a leper in that society, you were absolutely ostracized. And if you were by chance healed of leprosy, you had to go to the priest. The priest was like the you know, semi-physician who would examine and say, okay, you no longer have leprosy, you're no longer unclean, you can, you know, go out in public again. Lepers in those days, when they came down the street, if they saw you coming the other direction, they had to cry out, leper, leper, so that you knew to cross the street, or you knew to avoid them so that you wouldn't have incidental contact with them. These were the absolute untouchables of their society. And so Jesus on the one hand says, go show the priest that you're healed and get this taken care of. But on the other hand, he says, but don't tell anybody about this. Why? Because I need a leper. Tim, be a leper for me. Nothing personal. Yeah, just stand up a second. Just stand right about here. If I do that to a leper, you can sit down now. That's all I needed. Incidental contact. I am now ceremonially unclean. In the same status and category as that leper. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly. Jesus was declared ceremonially unclean for healing a leper. He could have stepped back and said, be healed. He didn't even have to point. But instead he reached out and touched him. Why? Because the leper didn't just need to be healed of leprosy. He needed to be touched. Jesus understood the possible consequences. 1 John 3:13, again, we'll get this one in context in a few weeks, says this: do not be surprised if the world hates you. I remember years ago, I used to officiate high school football. I did it for almost 30 years. And you know, it's amazing. You put on a black and white striped shirt and people don't like you. They don't know anything about you, and they just say all kinds of things about you. And when I was a young official, man, that hurt. No, I'm like, come on, I actually read the rule book. So, but you know, you just learn. That's part of it. As a Christian, do you get this? 1 John, Jesus said, don't be surprised if the world thinks you're weird. No, he didn't say that. Don't be surprised if the world misunderstands you. He says, don't be surprised if the world hates you. Why would they hate me? I don't know. Why would they hate Jesus? Remember, Jesus was not crucified because he was so popular and admired. Jesus reached out and touched the person who needed the touch, regardless of the potential reaction, the response of others, or the consequences for himself. All right, so what? You probably fit into one of these categories, or very likely both of them. First is those who need to be touched. And the sad thing is, probably like a leper, you've needed to be touched for so long, you've actually now you've gotten to where you're avoiding touch. Physical, spiritual, otherwise. I got to tell you, my mother eventually lightened up. It took years of hugging that telephone pole. That's what it was like. It was like hugging a telephone pole. And I mean the old wood telephone poles with splinters. I mean, it's just, but she eventually lightened up. And, you know, you can see she'd loosen up. And then like a year later, she'd kind of pat you with one hand. And then after a couple years, she'd actually hug back. Here's what I want you to see. If you need to be touched, if you need to be touched by God today, the leper knew that there was something wrong with him. When the leper went to Jesus, he didn't say, Jesus, I want you to be my advocate. I want equal rights for lepers. He didn't say, you know, Lord, I want you to accept me as I am. He knew that he had leprosy and he wanted to be healed. It didn't matter why he had it. It didn't matter how he got it. He knew he needed to get rid of it. He knew he had a problem. Second, he knew that Jesus could fix his problem. Lord, if you're willing, you could heal me. He might have wondered if he was willing. Some people who need a touch of God wonder why God would reach out to them. How could God possibly love me? But Jesus said, I am willing. Third, beyond just knowing he had a problem and knowing Jesus could fix it, he made a personal decision to ask Jesus to heal him, to save him. Somewhere around you is a green card like this. It's a decision card. I don't know what decision you need to make today, but everybody needs to make a decision today. Whether you put it on the card or not is kind of between you and God. By using the card, you communicate to us the decision that you have in mind. Maybe you have never received the touch of Jesus in your life. Maybe you've never had your sin forgiven. Maybe you've never been restored. Maybe you've never experienced that. Then you need to receive Jesus today, right now. I can't guarantee you a tomorrow. If you live up to the law of averages, you're going to live to be 76, 77 years old. Anybody here older than 77 years old? Okay, time's short, can't make any guarantees. But you read the paper, people die younger all the time. You need to make a decision. Understand that Jesus can fix whatever ails you. That's for those who need to be touched, and we all need to be touched somehow. But then the other part applies to all of us as well. We've all been touched at one time or another in our life. We watched, those of us who were here last night, watched the movie Up. I found it to be very touching in many ways. Squirrel. Oh, sorry. I'm going to call my next dog Doug. Anyway, we've all been touched. You know what? We're all capable of touching others. Okay, I'm sort of geeky in this, I know, but I actually watch C-SPAN every now and then on purpose. And about a month or so ago, as we were going through the graduation season, they had all these different people making graduation speeches at a variety of universities and colleges and so on. And one of them was Leanne Tui. Leanne Tui is the mom from The Blind Side. She's the real mom, not Sandra Bullock, who's the movie mom. And she was making this speech, and she said, you know, everybody can do something. I'm not telling you, and this is nearly a quote, so I'm not telling you to go out and adopt a 300-pound black boy. Not everybody can do that. They eat a lot. You know? But everybody can do something. You see, the problem is we look at what a Leanne Tui has done. We look at what a Billy Graham has done. We look at what this person or that person has done. We say, well, I could never do that. Nobody's asking you to do that. What God wants you to do is what you can do. So I want to challenge you in two things. Number one, see those people around you who need to be touched. In Luke 19:41, and I'll be kind of brief here. It's a part of the triumphal entry. It's Jesus' last entry into Jerusalem before his crucifixion. But I mean, he gets this hero's welcome. But in Luke 19:41, it says this. I'm going to kind of paraphrase. Jesus looked at the city of Jerusalem and wept. And he said, if you only knew that you would have peace. Think of the history of Jerusalem, right up to today. Had they received Christ then, none of what we know in modern history would have happened. They would have had peace. But they rejected Christ. They didn't see. That we might not be blind like that. Not just about seeing Jesus for who he is, but see the people around you the way God sees them. See the people around you who need you to reach out and touch them, whether it's a fist bump, a high five, a hug, words of encouragement, whatever it is. And then reach out and touch. What if your heart's not there? What if you're just not a touchy kind of guy? Well, then pray. Pray for them, whoever they might be anyway. And pray that God will change your heart. Let's stand together. We're going to pray. What about you? Do you need to get right with God today? I don't need to explain what that means. If I need to explain what that means, then you're not there yet. But some of you, something went off in your heart when I said that. And you may not fully understand it, but you know, something's wrong. Something is just wrong in your life. You need to receive Christ. Worship team, you got a song just to wrap us up? Come on up, I'll pray. Whatever decision you need to make, go ahead and fill out one of those green cards. Somebody will be in contact with you. You can hand it, put it up here, do whatever you want to with it. We'll make sure we process it and help you out in any way we can. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to see people the way you do. Lord, if there's anybody here who has never received that touch from Jesus, that healing touch, that the touch that heals not just our body but our soul, I pray right now that our hearts are open to you. Father, for the rest of us, give us eyes that see people the way you see them. Okay? And a heart that is intent on reaching out and touching people who need to be touched, regardless of what others might say or think or the consequences for even ourselves. In Jesus' name.